To promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now at Staples, spend $50 or more on print and marketing services and get $5 off your next in-store purchase.
Now my business is blossoming and I'm spending less green.
Exclusions apply. In-store only. Ends 6/23/18.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fantasy Insanity, the football absurdity podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco. I'm here with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Pretty good. Had a nice long day at work. Excited to start off the first episode. This is sort of, we're calling it episode zero. We're going to start off with the good stuff today, just a little bit, just a taste. Mike's got some strength of schedule stuff to talk to you guys about. And the next week, we'll really start to dive into it, where we'll both have a little bit of something that we're talking about. But today, we just wanted to introduce you guys and give you a little taste of what we're doing. So Mike, why don't you tell the people, since today's your show, why don't you go tell them a little bit about yourself, a little background, and we'll go from there.
All right, sounds great. So basically, been dealing with fantasy football for close to 30 years now. Got into it when I was in high school. Gone from there and been in one league, one hometown league for all 30 years. And then I'm on internet doing leagues all the time. So it's been one crazy quick 30 years of fantasy football. How about you, Jeff? What kind of background you got?
I also started in high school. I have a league that is still running with guys from my high school class, not quite 30 years ago. We started in 2003. As a testament to how old the league's been, it's still called Sacramento Boys, even though we've all been midden for a long time.
Midden, right?
Yeah, that one's actually been a lot of fun because it's developed over the years to the point that it started off just your standard Yahoo league, just, you know, click all the default settings. Now it's an IDP league. It's got 1.5 points PPR, but rushing yards are worth twice as much as receiving yards, and it's got 6 IDP slots, and that one's a lot of fun. It's sort of evolved every year. A little bit has changed. Oh, and it's keeper with a minor Devy aspect to it, a little bit of college draft, but not too much. That one's been fun to grow in and stuff. But then I also do, you know, my random leagues. I'm in a league with a bunch of ex-fantasy pros writers, stuff like that. And then I'll pop into a league or two just to, you know, have an easy go of it, just to slam on some pubbies, some public people.
That's how we met. You know, I was thinking earlier today about how I knew we met somehow online, whether it was through Facebook or whatever, but I couldn't remember. And now I do. We were working the Giants together through through Fantasy Pros.
Yeah, we were both doing the correspondent updates, which life got in the way for me. That sort of fell by the wayside. But yeah, that's how we sort of got into each other's orbit. But for the writing side of it, I've only been doing that. I'm trying to think. I was thinking of today. I think I'm coming into my fourth or fifth season. Wrote for a couple websites, Fantasy Sports Warehouse, which is gone by the wayside, Inscriber Magazine. I did some stuff for Fantasy Pros, a little bit for Up Rocks.
Okay.
I think that's everything. And now I have my own website, which this is sort of affiliated with a couple of guys I met online. It's called Football Absurdity. Basically, the thesis statement of it is this is all a game. This is all for fun. People tend to take this stuff way too seriously. And we're trying to bring the fun back to it. And that's what I'm hoping we are able to do with the podcast too. And sort of my background in this.
We're together for Fantasy Warehouse. I can't remember because I was there too.
We might have overlapped. I don't know. My mother told me if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So I'm just going to go ahead and leave it at that with Fantasy Sports Warehouse. So like we talked about, we're trying to do something a little different with the website. We're trying to do something a little different with the podcast. And one of the things that we talked about before was we will have some guests on, but today we're sort of the first people. We're the guests. So Mike, I didn't tell you this. I'm gonna spring the questions on you that we're gonna spring on to our guests. So I hope you're ready for it. The first question that everybody comes on, they're gonna have to answer is, what was your last football reference search or your last statistical search? Who is the last player you were looking into that really you're doing a little bit of a deep dive on, trying to see get some more information?
That was Reuben Foster earlier today. I was doing an article for the Inquisitor and wanted to see what his, I guess what we'd call, since we're talking about fantasy here, his IDP stats, how many tackles he had and combined tackles and that sort of thing. I think he ended up with 73.
Oh, wow. That's not bad considering he was hurt a lot last year and was in and out of games.
Yeah, exactly. He was in 10 games, total played 10 games, was out for 6. And so 73 tackles, I think 12 or 13 were combined. Very, very good year for the young rookie. He was, for Pro Football Focus, he was, and I know you love Pro Football Focus.
I love it. Just clean stats. Just give me the clean stats.
He was, I think, the fifth inside linebacker ranked of Pro Football. So, He had a great year.
Yeah, the Niners had a couple guys that were PFF darlings. I know DeForest Buckner ended up on one of their, like, the top 25, under 25 list or something like that. So that's a defense that's on the come up, and I don't just say that as a season ticket holder, though I mostly say it as a season ticket holder, and I'm just wishing. but that's a defense that's hopefully on the come up. And Reuben Foster, timely look up, because today this afternoon, he had the pending gun charges from his summer of fun. All of his issues that he's had this offseason, all he's had left is the gun charges, and he's getting, it sounds like, a probation and a community service for it. So it sounds like his legal troubles are finally over, and they can put it all behind him, finally.
Yes. It's all everything that he was put up for, which was an insane amount of different charges, anywhere from marijuana to guns. He had a 6-hour with fully automatic and extra capacity, and I have no idea why he would need such a thing, but I guess he does. And it's all put behind him, so that's really good. And maybe now he can concentrate on football. Let's put it this way: the NFL is going to probably look at suspending him for a few games. So he'll probably miss another 4 games, maybe 5. We'll see. But other than that, he's free and clear.
Yeah. So, that looks good. The thing about the suspensions is I'm thinking he's looking at 2 games max, but this is my thought process behind it. It's, the NFL went so hard chasing after that Zeke suspension last year that they probably want a nice, clean, small suspension out of it. That's not going to make any waves, not going to make any headlines. They're not going to have to, you know, oh, he's suspended. He's not suspended. He is suspended. He's not suspended. And that 2 games, Foster will sit out a couple games. Dude will probably get hurt in the 3rd or 4th preseason game anyways. So it'll be nice for him to sit out a couple games to heal up. And so I'm thinking it's only going to be a couple of games, but that's just me. So as for my last search, on Pro Football, Reference, I was looking at the Seattle running backs over the last couple of years. Cause I'm putting together, a sort of, just only 2018 outlooks for every single rookie that was drafted in this year's draft for, you know, fantasy eligible positions, your quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. And I was looking at Rashad Penny and I was trying to figure out how many different Seahawks running backs got starts over the last couple of years since they stopped having Marshawn Lynch. And I believe the count was 7, which was kind of insane.
Wow.
That seems like a lot of running backs. Yeah. And then I was also looking at one thing I like to do with rookies when they come in and sort of solidify a position like Rashad Penny should be doing, is I like to look at, okay, so if he's only as good, just as good as junk that they floated out there last season, if he's only that good, what's sort of his statistical floor? Which obviously he's much better than, guys like Mike Davis and Eddie Lacy circa 2018. I like to look at what's his floor. If he's only as good as those guys, you take all that stuff, ball it up together. And so I was looking at that. If he gets 70% of the yards that the Seahawks running backs got last year, that's a 1,200-yard floor. So that's where I'm starting.
Wow.
That's the last thing I looked at. I did that last night. Yeah. It's a nice exercise that I like to do with incoming running backs that are drafted high, that are have a clear hold on the position, because it gives you a nice floor to look at.
I like that.
Because if they're drafting somebody high, it means they know that they're better than all this other junk they have on the roster. And so they just start from there. And I usually look at somewhere between 60 and 75% of that output. I believe they said somewhere along the lines, Schottenheimer said, he's looking at about probably 70% of the touches. So I went with 70% of the yards from last year. So that was my last, my last search. So next question we're going to ask all the guests. Everybody likes to talk about, their good calls. Everybody remembers the things that they were high on. For me, my best call probably ever was, I said, Alvin Kamara was going to be the highest, end of season ranked running back in the Saints backfield last year. So, hey,
wow.
That's my number one. I'm never going to top that because he was undrafted. But what I want to know, what we want to know, because we're doing something different, is Mike, don't want to put you on the spot, but what do you think was probably your worst call that you can remember making, either in writing or in drafting? Just everybody has their disasters. What was your disaster fantasy football move or opinion that you can remember?
Actually, it's probably – this is going to be interesting because at the time it was an atrocious call and it was something I just put some risk into, but it might actually turn out to be true. We'll see. I said that Kelvin Benjamin would outperform Julio Jones in 5 years.
Wow,
so,
that is gutsy.
So – year one obviously did not turn out too well for me. Year two, better than year one, but still not so much. And we'll see 3, 4, and 5 what ends up happening. But right now, I really have pie in the face kind of statement there. But yeah, that was probably my worst call that's turning out to be that way. But who knows? Who knows?
Is it that the first 5 years of Kelvin Benjamin's career are going to be better than the first 5 of Julio's, or that during the first 5 years of Kelvin's career, he's going to outpace Julio?
So
like the same year.
Right. So, starting 2 years ago.
Okay.
In a 5 year span, Kelvin Benjamin would outproduce Julio Jones.
Wow. Well, you know, that is quite the call. And, you know, he only has like 1,500 yards to catch up to him from the last two seasons. So he's a little bit behind. He's just a smidge behind. Just a hair for me. And this is, I tend to be sort of a fantasy pessimist. My thing is that everybody stinks. Everybody's bad. Everybody has problems. And the last two seasons, I've put my foot all the way in my mouth with saying that players aren't going to be worth their draft stock. 2 years ago, when Ezekiel Elliott turned into a first-round pick, I was telling everybody that would listen that that was a horrible call. And obviously, we know how great Zeke's rookie year was. My opinion was, I'm not going to build my team around a guy that has as many NFL carries as I do. Obviously, you learn, you grow. Saquon Barkley's looking like he's creeping up to the same territory this year.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the same line, but, you know, I'm eagerly seeing how that plays out in preseason before I make any bold statements to keep my foot out of my mouth. And then last year, which probably might be my worst call, I could do this for the next 70 years until I'm, you know, just dusty and on the verge of death. And I probably won't make another call as bad as Todd Gurley is not a running back one. He was the running back one, and I said he wasn't worth taking as a top 15 running back. I had bought into his tape in 2016, where the team had sort of given up on Jeff Fisher. He wasn't breaking tackles. He wasn't making people miss in the open field. And I was saying, maybe this Todd Gurley guy is going by the wayside. You know, don't waste a pick on him. And then, poetically, just sweet justice, in the playoffs last year, I made playoffs in four leagues, and I lost to Todd Gurley in the semis in three of them, and in the finals in the fourth. So I ran into that buzzsaw. So that was my sweet, sweet comeuppance at the hands of Mr. Todd Gurley. So that'll probably be my worst call of all time.
speaking of Gurley, I traded him not last season, but the season before. No, I take that back. Let's reverse that. I had David Johnson. I drafted him as a keeper in his rookie season, and then he had his great rookie year, or somewhat great rookie year. Then year two, it was 2 years ago, I traded David Johnson for Gurley. And that 2 years ago was the year that he was a disaster and David Johnson just blew up the NFL. He was probably coming into last year, he was probably the number one pick by far over anybody else. Mm-hmm. That's how great of a year he had before he got injured, of course. So I too can relate with you on Todd Gurley and how he's burned me as well.
Yeah, and you don't have to tell me about David Johnson. He was in the big league I've been in for a long time. He was my big pick. I decided, you know what, 1.5 points PPR. He catches so many passes. I'm going to spend whatever it takes to get David Johnson. And, of course, he hurts himself partway through the first game and just waits a roster spot for half the season as Bruce Arians goes back and forth saying that he's going to play this year. Well, maybe not. Maybe he will. But Todd Gurley for David Johnson, that is a swing from your heels sort of move. That is a big boy move. But David Johnson last year and then this year of fantasy baseball, I drafted in that same league with those same guys, Clayton Kershaw, who is on and off the DL this year. So if you folks want to know who's going to get hurt, I'll let you know who I take with my big money in that draft. I have a long career of getting guys right as they fall apart. The one that annoyed me the most was back in the day, I always went running back on the snake drafts, and I got Randy Moss the year that he just completely fell apart and ended up on the Titans, I want to say. When he started the year with the Titans, Well, he was my first round pick, and I thought, you know what, he's worth skipping the running backs for, and I was way wrong. So you make a lot of choices in fantasy sports, and all you got to do is make the most educated one, and sometimes that just can still bite you in the rear end. So one of the ways that you can be really well educated is doing a lot of research. And Mike, you did a whole load of research that's coming out for where's this strength of schedule article you put together coming out?
It's going to be in the Draft Book magazine that is probably going to be in the shelves sometime later this month, I would imagine. They usually come out June, July. So look for the Draft Book magazine and be my article in that mag right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you like hearing us for free, you can pay to read what Mike has to say.
Yeah.
So you've got this strength of schedule article. It's very cool. I read up on it. But I'm going to sort of turn it over to you. I know you mentioned you've got this formula that you work on. You get the info from fantasydata.com because I guess somebody's got a couple coins to scrape together to pay for a subscription service. Why don't you just run us through the process? Let us know maybe a player you like and don't like at each position. It looks like you've got a handful at each to choose from. So I'm going to sort of turn it over to you and let you know if I have any questions or I want to chime in or what have you. So floor's yours, Mike.
Okay. Cool. So basically how I look at it as the strength of schedule is sort of a blueprint on the direction you want to take your team. And that way, if you look at each individual game, you can see pretty well how well your player is supposedly going to be performing. Unfortunately, it's not a concrete science, so you're going to probably not always work it out as well as you plan to. So don't worry about it. Like I said, like I'll talk about in the article, it's not something that you want to make your decisions on. It's something that if you have two players that are pretty much identical and you have to make a decision, of course, between one or the other, and you're stuck making the decision, looking at that strength of schedule will assist you in making those decisions. So one aspect to look at schedule. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like to call those 51-49 decisions where you're just not, you know, it's not a slam dunk. You're like, one of these I'm going to like 51%, one I'm going to like 49% as much as the other one. So it's a tiebreaker is what it comes down to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you got that coin flip and you just really don't know which one you're going to go with. That assists you. Now in two ways, you can look at this. You can look at it in a full season or you can look at it as in the playoffs. I try to intermingle both. So if you're looking at one season and you see a variety of games that seem to be easy and then a chunk of games that can be hard, well, where is that falling in into that season for you? If it's early on, then you have room to make up. So that's the way I look at it. The playoffs, too, is something that's key, of course. So if your team's in the playoffs, you're going to definitely want teams that are bad, that defenses are bad. So if you draft a player that has three teams in a row that's a bad defense, then go for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the play you want, you know, because the bad playoffs are going to get you into the championship. So that's another way I look at it. And that's pretty much it on how I digest it is
okay.
Through schedule and playoffs, try to put them together even. You know, there's a variety of ways you can work it.
Well, very cool. So I do like what you said. Strength of schedule isn't everything, but it is something. And you do acknowledge in the article that, you know, this is one of the things that is subject to change, just like everything else in the NFL, because teams aren't static.
Yep.
If they were, it would be a lot easier to do fantasy football, at least the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And gamble and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, it would make life much easier. So you've got a good handful of players here that that you have easy passing schedules on, and I know some of these guys reading through it are for different parts of the season. But you know, from sort of a value standpoint and an anticipated production based on schedule standpoint, who would you like to highlight there? We've got a handful of guys. I don't want to give up too much of the article, so I'll let you choose one and maybe expand on them a little bit that you like out of the easy schedule guys.
Sure. The quarterbacks that I really like, there's two. One, we'll see what ends up happening, but I really like Cam Newton's schedule. He's definitely the passing opponents that he's going to be facing in the South are pretty much the doormat to defenses. It's almost like if you're going to pick any quarterback, you want to pick them out of the South just because they're going to be active passers and their defenses that they face aren't the greatest. Now, New Orleans and Atlanta have improved, so I don't think it's going to be as easy as a lot of people think they're going to be, so you definitely want to make sure that you're getting your return on investment on that. But just keep in mind that Atlanta and New Orleans are tougher than what they appear. And with in going over to the AFC South, I like Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck is going late in a lot of drafts, which I absolutely love. And he's facing a lot of passing schedules that are just simple. I think he's going to be able to really tear it up as long as he doesn't tear up his arm in the process.
That is if it's
so
still attached
I think those
to his
two
body.
Are the best. Yeah. I'm kind of worried. I think he's going to play. I'm a Colts fan, so I think he's going to start this season. It's what the progression throughout the year on what that's going to do to his shoulder is what I'm more concerned about than him actually playing. So if you're worried about him starting this season in week one, I wouldn't worry about it so much. But I would definitely get someone to back up for him that – like maybe even Jacoby Brissett, someone that you can sort of trust that you can get later in the draft, maybe around 15, to see just in case Andrew Luck starts to falter because of his arm just giving way to just the rotation of it for every single game. So I definitely would look back him up.
Yeah, and a couple quick ADPs on those guys. That's average draft position. Fantasy Football Calculator is where I'm getting these. Cam Newton is 7th quarterback off the board in round 6, so it seems like pretty decent value. Andrew Luck is the 11th off the board in round 8, which seems like some slamming value, especially considering guys he's going behind, like Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is going to have a lot of weapons in Minnesota, but Jimmy Garoppolo is going before Andrew Luck, which is kind of a head scratcher. I know he's the big flashy guy. Like I said, I'm a Niners fan, but that seems a bit much for him to be going in the 7th round. So Andrew Luck definitely sounds like a great value pick there. Let somebody else, reach on Goff, Cousins, and Garoppolo and sit back and snag Luck. So is there any quarterback that's going kind of high that you don't like? I see here, I'll read off the top 5 for you. On ADP, so it'll help give you an idea. Right now, surprisingly, number 1 is not Aaron Rodgers. It's Deshaun Watson, then Rodgers, Brady, Wilson, and then Breeze are the top 5. So guy there that you might think might be going a little bit overdrafted in the top 5?
Yeah, Foster for sure. I mean, not Foster. I keep doing that. Watson.
Even though he has a good schedule,
yeah, he does. So another AFC South quarterback. I think there's 3 of the AFC South quarterbacks that have a really nice schedule. I really like Watson. I mean, I like Watson's schedule. But I don't like Watson as number 1. That is truly baffling to me. I know he had a great 5 games or whatever it was. But number 1, I mean, that just makes me want to, like, turn off that turn it off, like turn off the website and just go, I don't get why people are drafting him at number one, but I guess that's where he is. What do you think? I mean, do you think that's nuts?
Well,
or what?
I mean, Watson at one is nuts because we don't know what he's going to be like after his knee exploded last year. Like I said, my thing is everybody sucks till you prove to me otherwise. That's sort of my mantra. I was looking at the article and the number five, Drew Brees, it looks like in your piece, he has a little bit of a difficult schedule after the first few weeks. Looks like you highlighted the Giants, Washington, Ravens, Vikings, and the Rams. Ooh, Vikings and Rams back-to-back is going to be exceptionally
tough
for him, I think. Yeah, that is a brutal back-to-back, those secondaries.
And, yeah, so, I like, just those kind of things. And then what do I do with those things? Let's just say he's a great quarterback, right? So he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks taken off the board. Now, you have those two schedules as back-to-back. Let's just say he's having a mediocre year and he's struggling against really tough defenses. Well, you can look at those schedules and see those 2 weeks and maybe see someone maybe like Kirk Cousins where they might have an easier time. Maybe Kirk Cousins is playing Indianapolis and Tampa Bay in those 2 weeks. Well, you can draft Kirk Cousins, have him come in for those 2 weeks, and substitute in for those for that way you're maximizing your points and your schedule.
Yeah. And well, we know who Kirk Cousins is playing in one of those weeks because he's playing against Drew Brees. He's playing against the Saints.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So that's great. Yeah. That's some good stuff. I do like taking a look at the schedule because, you know, the players can do great, but then they can also run into a buzzsaw of a schedule like Drew Brees there in back-to-back weeks might make you think you might want to snag somebody else. So moving on to the running backs, you only have a few guys here, but whoever you'd like to highlight out of your running back schedule, either good or bad, we'll speed this up. We'll just talk about one guy. So who would you like to highlight in your running backs?
I'm going to go with David Johnson. And I need to fix that because I said he was returning from an ACL injury, which of course he's not. He's returning from a wrist injury.
Yeah, he broke his wrist last year.
But I really like his schedule. The Redskins, and even though the Rams, as you're saying, the defensive backs, their passing is a lot better than their really run defenses and isn't all that at this point. I think they're middle of the pack or less as far as rushing for the Rams. And then they get the 49ers, who is another team that's looking like they're getting better on defensive wise, but I don't think they're quite there as well in week 5 and 8. Mm-hmm. So they get them twice. But they also get Minnesota and Denver. So David Johnson will probably have a little tough time against those two teams, but I think he has a great schedule. I really like his schedule. I think, especially for someone who they're probably going to rely on the run a lot, just because my personal opinion, I think Josh Rosen is going to win the starting job in Arizona. So they're going to need to rely on Johnson quite a bit with that offense. With an easy schedule, I think he's definitely one of the top picks.
Yeah, and even if Rosen doesn't win it outright, I mean, the guys ahead of Sam Bradford's made of glass. So even if he doesn't win it outright, he'll be in there by halfway through the season, I think. So awesome. Yeah. I love David Johnson. I love those versatile backs that the league that I played in forever kind of taught me that. So David Johnson is one of my favorite backs, and I just did a slow draft and he actually went first overall. So, you know, there's a lot of hype out there for him. So moving on, what do you think of the, there's a whole crop of wide receivers that you talk about in your article, both good and bad, because you're highlighting sort of, I guess, receiving cores saying, hey, these guys have some good matchups, which makes a lot of sense. Who would you like to highlight out of your wide receivers? Which one of these players really stands out to you as a guy you think might, his schedule might help impact him a lot, whether good or bad?
You know, I really like Atlanta this year. They have mm-hmm. quite a few receivers, of course, going back to Julio Jones and then Mohamed Sanu, who's not too bad. He's a verge draft pick. And then you have Calvin Ridley, the rookie, who's probably going to be, you know, around somewhere late in the draft that you're probably going to take just because he's a rookie. I like the fact that he's going to play the slot. That means in PPR leagues, he's going to be targeted quite a bit. So with that being said, Matt Ryan, who's above average quarterback, he's going to find and target those receivers quite a bit. So that passing offense, which is always, you know, pretty good. It's never really bad, but it's always up there. I like it. I think their schedule is built for them, and I think they'll take advantage of it.
So with all those guys, you like the receiver core. How are you feeling on Matt Ryan this year? Because it looks like right now he's the 12th quarterback off the board going right after Andrew Luck. So maybe that'd be a nice pairing. You snag Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck back-to-back while you see what Luck does while he comes back. Yeah, because it looks like Ryan – I always love digging guys out of that, like, quarterback 10 to 15, snagging two of those guys and seeing which one shakes out. Because that's where the unsexy picks that produce year after year sit, like your Phillip Rivers. That's a classic, like, quarterback 11 through 15 pick is Phillip Rivers or Matt Stafford. Now that he has Jim Bob, since he's had Jim Bob Cooter, he's a completely different quarterback. He's not that old. He's not your older cousins, Matthew Stafford, that he was 5 or 6 years ago where it was an interception or a bomb up to Megatron.
Calvin.
So to Calvin. So moving on to the last group you highlight, it's a group that's near and dear to my heart because one of my mantras is don't draft tight ends. There's a couple great ones that may or may not be worth the ADP. We're talking Gronk. We're talking Kelsey. Last year, Ertz was an eighth or ninth round pick, so even he wasn't one of them. And that's the reason why I say don't draft tight ends, because some good ones always rise to the top every year from the Drex. So, you know, is there a tight end that you want to highlight here? I see you talk about a handful of guys here, a whole bunch of them, actually. So who's the tight end you think their schedule helps or hurts them the most this year from what you found?
So speaking of what you're speaking about, and I do the same thing, I absolutely refuse to draft Rob Gronkowski or Travis Kelce just because they're going to go in the second or third round, and I don't want to spend my picks on a tight end who's always hurt in Gronkowski and pass up, you know, a wide receiver or running back. But some people like to do that, and that's fine if that's your, you know, preference or whatever. But I agree with you on that one. I don't do that either. And speaking, which you also mentioned, late tight ends. And I think Jack Doyle is going to be one of those guys that is going to go late. He'll go earlier than he did last year, of course, because last year he was sort of an unknown. And now after making the Pro Bowl and doing those things, he's definitely has – his name sort of circling around the map. I don't think he's landed yet, but there is a buzz around him. So he'll go earlier than what he did last year. But I absolutely love his value and the teams that he's going to go against. And then another guy that's also late is Austin Seferian Jenkins. And whenever he has his head straight and he's not doing whatever mental case thing that he's doing for the day, then he's a great, huge tight end. He's like Gronk, but just without
you're a man after that.
I love him. ASJ, almost every year I draft him just because I can get him with, like, the last pick of the draft and just roll with the dice. But I think with being in Jacksonville, I think he's going to – it seemed like it lightened up last year, and I think things are going to get better for him this year as well. So I really like him in that offense.
Yeah, I am a huge ASJ fan, just massive. I was so hurt when I still remember 2 years ago, I was telling everybody to draft ASJ, go get Austin Seferian Jenkins wherever you can. And then in the preseason, he's barking at the coaches, and then he gets kicked off the team. And it turns out he was struggling. He had some addiction issues that he seems to have kicked. So for what a lot of people was Josh Gordon, that was my Austin Seferian Jenkins. And to speak to your point, doesn't even have an ADP right now. He hasn't gotten drafted enough times to average draft position. So he's the perfect guy to kick in at the end of your draft. Jack Doyle, 11th round pick. Again, another great guy to kick in towards the end of your draft. Anytime you can get somebody in the double digit rounds that you can slot in as a starter, that's beautiful. That means you've used the rest of your draft to load up on the positions you need a lot of, running backs, wide receivers, because those guys you need multiples of. And you were talking about Gronk and Travis Kelce, a couple guys going after Gronk that I'd rather have. Tyreek Hill, T.Y. Hilton, if Luck is back, Doug Baldwin, all going after Gronk. Yeah, after Kelce, getting Adam Thielen, Kenyon Drake, Stephon Diggs, a lot of guys that I would much rather have than Gronk or Kelce, because when you're using that premium pick, you're just banking on locking up that one position, but you only need one of it, and a lot of them come up every year. This article is great. It's wonderful. I don't have to pay money for it, but everybody else should go pay money for it. I don't have to pay money because I just read it. Mike sent it to me. So that's the benefit of podcasting with them. I learned a lot of stuff. You will too. Any final takeaways from your ADP article, or I'm sorry, your schedule article?
Just make sure that you don't use it as something that is a guaranteed lock. That's the only really recommended advice I have. It's informative. It's something that you could use to definitely get to A to Z, but just be careful with it. It's not a scientific method. Even though I use a lot of stats and do a lot of kind of different formulas, give and take, minus additions and those kind of things to really enhance how it is, but it's not science. It's fantasy football. So just use it to your advantage and go from there.
All right, you heard it here. Mike guarantees 100% accuracy and you will win your league. No. That's actually a good disclaimer for everything you – anytime somebody tells you something about fantasy football, it's their best – let's be clear here. It's their best guess. It's just the level of education that goes into it, that goes into their guess, their hunch, their feeling, whatever their statistical model tells them. In this case, Mike's put a lot of work into this to give a lot of information for the strength of schedule. So, yeah, I definitely recommend go pick it out. Mike, you want to plug that magazine again? What's it called?
It's called Draftbook. It's one of the few magazines that you should be able to find. I see it every year. I don't buy it every year until now because it's given to me, but you'll see it out there for sure, especially if you go into like Barnes & Noble or a big magazine store.
Yeah, so if you're at the airport, you're trying to figure out a way to get away from your family while you're on the plane for the next 4, 5, 6 hours, go ahead, pick up a copy of it and read Mike's whole article so that you can ignore the fact that there's a small child kicking the back of your seat for the last 4 hours. Yes, I took a plane flight and there was a child kicking me. Why do you ask? I'm not bitter at all.
Oh, yeah. And that's got to drive you crazy because it's like the parent is like right there and the kid's like, nah, nah, nah. And you're like, do you not see this?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think they know there's only just so much they can do. That's all we had on the schedule for this week. We've cleared up about 45 minutes here. I guess we could talk a little bit about our plan going forward. Next week, Mike and I, we're going to talk a little bit about ADP, that's average draft position again, a little bit about tiers, That's not, you know, crying when you're the player that you want to take gets drafted right before you. That is grouping your players together and the benefits of that and why you would want to do that. We're really talking a good amount of Fantasy 101 on some of this stuff, just because it's my opinion. And one of the reasons I wanted to build the website is that people have, at least the writers at large, have stopped doing this sort of Fantasy 101 thing.
Yeah.
I call it, you know, the we'll say the gender neutral person from accounting that's never played fantasy football before that ends up in your league. How can we help that person? A lot of fantasy football writing has turned into fantasy football for each other, for the writers. So we're going to work on that next week, and then we're going to start. We got some other stuff planned, and then we're going to really do a little bit of a sleeper breakout bust for each team. We'll go division by division. We'll get some guests on, at least a couple guys from the website. We'll lead Ismail, who, if you go to footballabsurdity.com, he's had a couple interviews on Illinois radio. He'll be on. We'll get Evan Hoover on, another writer for the website, and then some other guests who I can't speak for them, so I'm not going to name them. But we'll see who else can get. So that's the plan for now. Mike, is there anything you want to add here? Huh?
No, I think it's going to be great. And I love the idea of giving the 101 because, as you mentioned, it's a lot of people have just started out, even though it's been around and has been popular for many years now. There's people out there that are new to this game. And in fact, I know a couple that are new and are wanting to learn. So why not go back to its roots and discuss what's progressed through time and what we've learned, and go and just talk to people who are just eager to understand how this game works.
Yeah, exactly. That's you know, that's the goal for all of us is teaching people, helping people, helping them learn. Really, my thing is I want to teach people how to fish. I want somebody else to be able to go out there and learn how to do this themselves, watch the tape, look at the statistics, really have that discerning eye when somebody tells you something to be able to call it BS if you think it's BS. I got in a Twitter argument with a couple prominent fantasy guys a few years ago on a couple of different things, and that made me really think, okay, I can do this, I can have an opinion, and my opinion's valid, especially since I turned out to be right. So like I said before, this is just your best guess. This is just your best opinion. It's just a matter of arming you with the tools to form that opinion yourself.
Exactly.
Make sure that it is educated. So this has been the Fantasy Insanity podcast from Football Absurdity. It's not up on iTunes yet. As soon as I get a hold of the files and everything, we're going to go ahead and get this bad boy up on iTunes. And we'll do the normal spiel. Like, rate, review, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your dad. Don't tell the people in your league because we're going to help you win it or do. It's up to you. So, Mike, anything else you want to say before we head out?
No, Jeff, I think that's great. Thank you for coming on and agreeing to do this with you. I'm totally excited for this whole process, this whole journey that we're going to be on. So I just wanted to say, hey, I appreciate it, and thank you very much for doing this with me.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. So
sure.
Until next time, everyone, take care.
Yeah, take care, everybody. All right. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Chris from the East Castor Valley Safeway. Summer's here, and long sun-filled days mean it's time for some cold ice cream. At Safeway, we have hundreds of tasty flavors to choose from. Scoop up this week's sweet deal, 1.5-quart Breyers ice cream or 28.5-ounce gelato. Buy one, get one free with your club card. That's right, buy one, get one free. share with family and friends, and get the party started. This is Chris from East Castro Valley Safeway, and we'll see you soon.